Some of you will have heard me say before that I had not heard of the Holy Spirit until I was about 38. Not because I'd never been to church. By then I'd been a practicing Christian for some 5 years and had attended Sunday school and church until the age of 16. I'm not sure why I hadn't. Maybe it was because the Holy Spirit wasn't a subject for preaching in those days. Maybe it had been preached, but I had not been open to hearing what was said or understood what was being said. It was not until I was living in Shropshire, a lovely county unknown to many people west of Birmingham, and attending my first Lent course, that the leader of the course kept referring to the Holy Spirit in a very distinctive accent. Then, after a few weeks, the penny finally dropped. And over the past 24 years, I have pondered and puzzled over the who, what, and how of the Holy Spirit. But I am in good company. As we heard in Acts, those who experienced firsthand the outpouring of the Holy Spirit were amazed and bewildered and perplexed. In a couple of weeks ago, in preparation for today, when at Yarlswood Immigration Removal Centre, I asked the religious affairs manager there, who is a pastor in the Pentecostal church, what Pentecostal Christians believe. Today, being Pentecost, that seemed quite a good starting point. He answered, "The same as you, but with emphasis on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. For example, speaking in tongues." But he also told me that through the gift of the Holy Spirit, Christians can exercise all of Jesus' gifts, such as healing. During our conversation, he mentioned that tears can be healing. Just as Jesus wept over Lazarus was one of the references he made. A few seconds later, a young woman resident knocked on his office door in tears, asking for prayer. 10 minutes before, I had given her Holy Communion and a personal blessing, as I had some 30 other women. Pastor Lonnie asked me to pray with her and for her with him. I knew nothing of her story or why she was crying. But when praying for her, I used the image we had just thought about between us, of Jesus weeping at the news of Lazarus's death. We, Lonnie and I, both believed that this was the work of the Holy Spirit. But how do you prove it? Strange things do happen in Yarlswood. But there I had been asking the question to understand the gift of the Holy Spirit when I was given the unexpected opportunity to exercise that gift. Now, because it was time for the roll call, I had no opportunity to speak to the young woman further and do not know what happened as a result of that prayer time. but Pastor Lonnie would probably have spoken to her later that day. Now, I must point out that it is common for the women to seek prayer from Pastor Lonnie in his office and elsewhere. But they do not always come in crying, anxious and distressed, yes, but not crying. It has been said that to be a Christian, one core belief must be in the resurrection, as set out in the creeds. On the third day, he rose again. Another, I would suggest, is to believe in the Holy Spirit, however perplexing that might be. The Holy Spirit, as all three of this morning's Bible's readings point out, is for all people. The second hymn we sung, I like that lively gospel choir type hymn, because it incorporated all those aspects. It was for all people. Not just the chosen few who first experienced its coming and were unable to understand these Galileans in their own native languages. And the map in Partnership News endeavours to show you the breadth of the known world at that time, where people came from, such a vast area. If you get your magnifying glasses out when you get home, you'll see that all the names mentioned in that passage are there on the map. So they came from a long way, and they could hear those Galileans in their own native languages. The ability to understand and receive the Holy Spirit is all-inclusive. Today there is much talk of equality and inclusiveness, but the Holy Spirit got there first. As Peter himself, transformed by the Holy Spirit, quotes from the prophet Joel in Acts 2, verses 17 and 18. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. All people, sons and daughters, men and women. No ethnic origin, age or gender discrimination legislation required to ensure equal access or rights to the gift of the Holy Spirit. It was Jesus himself who promised to ask his Father to give the Holy Spirit to his followers. In the Gospel of John, this Spirit is frequently called Counselor and the Spirit of Truth. Today, the term counselor is often used to describe professionals who support people through personal or professional crises, enabling their clients to accept, deal with, and move on from a situation which may be impairing their ability to live confident and meaningful lives. This is not too dissimilar from the way the Holy Spirit can work with and through us. In Acts, we read of lives transformed. Timid people are given confidence to preach the good news. the meaning and purpose of life transformed from persecutor to preacher in the person of Paul. The transformed Paul, who encourages the fledgling Christians of Rome, those who have the first fruits of the Spirit, by telling them that the Spirit helps in our weaknesses, helps us to pray, interceding for us with groans that words cannot express. How often such a promise can help us when we struggle to find words to comfort those in need, or are challenged by questions of faith. Earlier, I raised the question of how we prove the Holy Spirit is at work. I believe that us all being here today, along with millions of Christians all over the world, worshipping God is evidence enough. Or, if we require more specific contemporary evidence, I suggest Messy Church, which has grown from just one in 2004 to over 1,000 today in the UK and around the world. Another, perhaps, is Compassion International, founded by the Reverend Everett Swanson in 1952, Echoes of Jubilee, as a Christian child advocacy ministry. Today it helps 1.2 million children in 26 countries to be released from spiritual, economic, social and physical poverty, and enables them to become responsible, fulfilled Christian adults. The work of the Holy Spirit. Crucially, all this is only achieved, as Paul states in Romans chapter 8, verse 27, in accordance with God's will. We, just like those first disciples, must be guided into all truth by the Spirit of truth. It is when we step out on our own without seeking this guidance that danger lies. Jesus knew his disciples could not cope on their own. He also knows when we are trying to cope on our own. That is why he asked his Father for the Holy Spirit. It is for us to accept the truth of the Holy Spirit, pray for the guidance of that Holy Spirit, and acknowledge its working in our lives. Amen.